September 3rd. The reason why I did not finish my last letter, Makar Alexievich, was that I found it so difficult to write. There are moments when I am glad to be alone, to grieve and repine without anyone to share my sorrow. And those moments are beginning to come upon me with ever-increasing frequency. Always in my reminiscences, I find something which is inexplicable, yet strongly attractive, so much so that for hours together I remain insensible to my surroundings, oblivious of reality. Indeed, in my present life there is not a single impression that I encounter, pleasant or the reverse, which does not recall to my mind something of a similar nature in the past. More particularly is this the case with regard to my childhood, my golden childhood. Yet such moments always leave me depressed. They render me weak and exhaust my powers of fancy, with the result that my health, already not good, grows steadily worse. However, this morning it is a fine, fresh, cloudless day, such as we seldom get in autumn. The air has revived me, and I greet it with joy. Yet to think that already the fall of the year has come! How I used to love the country in autumn! Then but a child, I was yet a sensitive being who loved autumn evenings better than autumn mornings. I remember how beside our house, at the foot of a hill, there lay a large pond, and how the pond, I can see it even now, shone with a broad, level surface that was as clear as crystal. On still evenings this pond would be at rest, and not a rustle would disturb the trees which grew on its banks or overhung the motionless expanse of water. How fresh it used to seem, yet how cold! The dew would be falling upon the turf, lights would be beginning to shine forth from the huts on the pond's margin, and the cattle would be wending their way home. Then quietly I would slip out of the house to look at my beloved pond, and forget myself in contemplation. Here and there a fisherman's bundle of brushwood would be burning at the water's edge, and sending its light far and wide over the surface. Above, the sky would be of a cold blue colour, save for a fringe of flame-coloured streaks on the horizon that kept turning ever paler and paler. And when the moon had come out, there would be wafted through the limpid air the sound of a frightened bird fluttering, of a bulrush rubbing against its fellows in the gentle breeze, and of a fish rising with a splash. Over the dark water there would gather a thin, transparent mist. And, though in the distance night would be looming and seemingly enveloping the entire horizon, everything closer at hand would be standing out, as though shaped with a chisel. Banks, boats, little islands, and all. Beside the margin, a derelict barrel would be turning over and over in the water. A switch of laburnum with yellowing leaves would go meandering through the reeds, and a belated gull would flutter up, dive again into the cold depths, rise once more, and disappear into the mist. How I would watch and listen to these things! How strangely good they all would seem! But I was a mere infant in those days, a mere child. Yes, truly I loved autumn tide, the late autumn, when the crops are garnered, and fieldwork is ended, and the evening gatherings in the huts have begun, and everyone is awaiting winter. Then does everything become more mysterious. The sky frowns with clouds. Yellow leaves strew the paths at the edge of the naked forest. And the forest itself turns black and blue, more especially at eventide when damp fog is spreading, and the trees glimmer in the depths like giants, like formless, weird phantoms. Perhaps one may be out late, and had got separated from one's companions. Oh, horrors! Suddenly one starts and trembles as one seems to see a strange-looking being peering from out of the darkness of a hollow tree, while all the while the wind is moaning and rattling and howling through the forest, moaning with a hungry sound as it strips the leaves from the bare boughs and whirls them into the air. High over the treetops, in a widespread, trailing, noisy crew, there fly with resounding cries flocks of birds, which seem to darken and overlay the very heavens. Then a strange feeling comes over one, until one seems to hear the voice of someone whispering, "Run, run, little child! Do not be out late, for this place will soon have become dreadful! Run, little child! Run!" And at the words, terror will possess one's soul, and one will rush and rush until one's breath is spent, until, panting, one has reached home. At home, however, all will look bright and bustling as we children are set to shell peas or poppies, and the damp twigs crackle in the stove, and our mother comes to look fondly at our work, and our old nurse, Ileana, tells us stories of bygone days or terrible legends concerning wizards and dead men. At the recital, we little ones will press closer to one another, yet smile as we do so, when suddenly everyone becomes silent. Surely somebody has knocked at the door. But nay, nay, it is only the sound of Frolovna's spinning wheel. What shouts of laughter arise! Later one will be unable to sleep for fear of the strange dreams which come to visit one. Or, if one falls asleep, one will soon wake again, and, afraid to stir, lie quaking under the coverlet until dawn. And in the morning, one will arise as fresh as a lark, and look at the window, and see the fields overlaid with hoarfrost, and fine icicles hanging from the naked branches, and the pond covered over with ice as thin as paper, and a white steam rising from the surface, and birds flying overhead with cheerful cries. Next, as the sun rises, he throws his glittering beams everywhere and melts the thin, glassy ice, until the whole scene has come to look bright and clear and exhilarating. And as the fire begins to crackle again in the stove, we sit down to the tea urn, while, chilled with the night cold, our black dog, Polkan, will look in at us through the window and wag his tail with a cheerful air. Presently, a peasant will pass the window in his cart, bound for the forest to cut firewood, and the whole party will feel merry and contented together. Abundant grain lies stored in the byres, and great stacks of wheat are glowing comfortably in the morning sunlight. Everyone is quiet and happy, for God has blessed us with a bounteous harvest, and we know that there will be abundance of food for the wintertide. Yes, yes, the peasant may rest assured that his family will not want for aught. Song and dance will arise at night from the village girls, and on festival days everyone will repair to God's house to thank him, with grateful tears for what he has done. Ah, a golden time was my time of childhood. Carried away by these memories, I could weep like a child. Everything comes back so clearly to my recollection. The past stands out so vividly before me. Yet in the present, everything looks dim and dark. How will it all end? How? Do you know? I have a feeling, a sort of sure premonition, that I am going to die this coming autumn. For I feel terribly, oh, so terribly ill. Often do I think of death, yet feel that I should not like to die here, and be laid to rest in the soil of St. Petersburg. Once more I have had to take to my bed, as I did last spring, for I have never really recovered. Indeed, I feel so depressed. Theodora has gone out for the day, and I am alone. For a long while past I have been afraid to be left by myself, for I keep fancying that there is someone else in the room, and that someone is speaking to me. Especially do I fancy this when I have gone off into a reverie, and then suddenly awoken from it, and am feeling bewildered. That is why I have made this letter such a long one. For when I am writing, the mood passes away. Goodbye. I have neither time nor paper left for more, and must close. Of the money which I saved to buy a new dress and hat, there remains but a single rouble. But I am glad that you have been able to pay your landlady 2 roubles, for they will keep her tongue quiet for a time. And you must repair your wardrobe. Goodbye once more. I am so tired. Nor can I think why I am growing so weak. Why is it that even the smallest task now wearies me? Even if work should come my way, how am I to do it? That is what worries me above all things. B.D.